Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm just so blessed that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And so as always, I hope you have your cup of joe. I'm going black coffee this morning. No cream, no sugar, right to the point. And that's what we're going to get at today. So I hope you have your Bible, the Word of God, because we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Matthew. And so you recall last week we finished the Sermon on the Mount. And today Jesus is coming down from the mountain. And it says that crowds of people are following him. And then for the next two chapters, Jesus is going to go on a miracle rampage. Like he's just casting out demons, healing the sick. Boom, 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 boom. It's like this machine gun of faith is going out with Jesus, because on top of the mountain, Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom. And now he's going to demonstrate the power of the kingdom. Proclamation, now it's demonstration. And here's why this is important for you and me. Do you know that now you and I, as followers of Jesus, we not only proclaim the gospel, but we demonstrate in the earth the power of the gospel itself. And so in order to access the power of the King and the kingdom of God, you're going to need something very, very important. And that something is faith. Faith. I love it. I read one author said this, that faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. And so if you're going to succeed at your destiny, your calling, and God's purpose for your life, you are going to need to walk in faith. And so this morning, I want to share with you the ABCs of faith as we see it playing out in the book of Matthew. The ABCs of faith, A being authority, B being believing, and C, being a community. And these are going to be keys to help unlock our faith and the power of God within our lives. And so, Lord, we pray you give us grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, if you have your Bible, let's begin in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. And I want you to highlight and look at the authority that this man identifies. And so, verse 5 says, When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." He says this, "For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such great faith." Isn't that incredible? Like Jesus marveled at this man's faith. And what I want us to highlight this morning is notice this. He says, "I'm a man under authority, therefore I have authority." And so, I need to show you a little picture of my baby girls. So I'm a proud daddy of daughters. My daughters are much older now than these pictures, but I got to show you this picture of Cassie. So it should be coming up on your screen. This is Cassie when she was a little girl and we had her photo taken. And she's just like, come on, the face of an angel, right? A little angel there. And guess what? No, she's not. Because when we were shooting these photos, we went to a photographer, and this little angel was a little demon baby, okay? She was pinching and teasing her sister and making her cry, and it was a nightmare. I was ready just to lose my mind. So she's not a little angel. She was a little demon baby. Let me show you my youngest. This is Lizzie at that same photo shoot. Like, do you see her face? Like, pure and holy. And don't let her fool you, because it's not true, because she has a sinful, wicked heart. In fact, you know, but at 5 years old, I caught my daughter. She was stealing. I think it was from Target. And then I was making her bring the stuff back, and she wouldn't do it because she's got a stubborn little wicked heart. Okay, and listen, if you're a parent, this is a good time for you to say amen. But here's what we know: the Bible says we're to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. And so I've hammered this one truth into my daughter's lives. You will respect your authority. The authority over you, you will respect your authority. To this day, they know they are to respect their authority, whether that's your teacher, your coaches, your other adults in your life. You will respect your authority. I know it's a wildly unpopular idea these days, but here's what I believe. If you can't respect your authority here, you will never respect your authority this way. And Jesus is our ultimate authority. Do you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he walked in the authority of his Father as a man. He was known as the Son of Man, and he walked in perfect authority, didn't he? I mean, everything obeyed Jesus. The demons obeyed. Man, dead people obeyed. The storms and the waves obeyed. It seems like everything obeyed Jesus except for his people. But here's the great promise. As we obey, we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, his authority, then he can trust us to empower us with authority in the earth. Under authority, he's going to give us authority. You can think of it this way. Do you know, I've seen a man stop like a car. I don't know what a car weighs, but I'm imagining it's several tons. I've seen a man stop a car with his bare hand. And you know why? It's because this man was a cop. And he reached out his hand like this, but he had this little thing on him. It was called a badge. And that badge gave him authority in the earth. That even this guy driving the car, he had to stop the car. Why? Because all the authority of the state of New Jersey rested behind that badge. And listen, if that cop doesn't stay under the authority that's been given to him, then that authority can be taken away from him, can it? And it's the same with us. As we sit under God's authority, we obey Jesus as Lord. The promise is, I will give you authority in the earth. Jesus will say it this way in John's gospel. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide inside of you, he says, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See, under authority, and you'll be given authority in the earth. You'll be given, it's the Greek word exousia, authority. And so little harsh talk this morning. I need you to take inventory of your life today. Because I think many of you, you have no authority on your life because you don't have the Word of God abiding in your heart. You have no authority in your life because you have no Word of God abiding in your heart. And so you have to, if this is you this morning, you need to exercise your faith. Like, we're going to get a little workout in this morning. Like, you have to train yourself in the Word of God. When I was playing in Atlanta for the Atlanta Thrashers several years ago, it was funny. I got to be close with several of the Atlanta Falcons, the professional football team there. And I actually, one of the guys on the team was a fellow believer. He needed a place to stay, so we just opened up our home to him, and he came and lived with us. He was the son I never had. Weighed about 300 pounds though, okay? And so this big old lineman, he was living with us, and we have a gym in our home. And so I remember he was working out, getting in shape for the upcoming season. Suddenly, he comes down from his room and he yells at me. He's like, Adam, you got to come here. You got to see this. All this excitement was just bubbling over in this young man's soul. And then after he'd been working out all summer, he calls me over and he says, look at this. And he makes a muscle like this. And he says, do you see that? He says, it's a vein. I have a vein. And so he was so fired up. But I want to tell you something, son or daughter of God, is this, that as you exercise yourself in the Word of God, confess it, speak it out of your mouth. Man, you're going to get some spiritual veins, some spiritual muscles as you speak it out of your mouth. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That as you continue to hear and speak the word of God out of your mouth, faith is coming as you're hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not doing this, I feel like I'm not overstating this. Do you know one of the greatest spiritual tools I've ever used in my lifetime, and it's so simple, is a daily confession of the word of God over my life. It's made monumental difference, and it's so easy. I just quote the word of God over my life. And so when you confess the word of God and speak it out of your mouth, it's not some incantation. It's not like if you say it enough, you're going to twist God's arm and he's going to give you what you want. That's not what it's for. But as you begin to confess and speak the word of God over your life, what you're actually doing is you're aligning your will with the word of God. We're actually aligning. I'm starting to believe what the word of God says about me. And remember, when you're under authority, he will give you authority. Where there's alignment, there's power. And so I can remember for years, it's funny, I have my high school diploma, and yet God makes me a pastor in Manhattan. You know who I'm ministering to? Columbia University students, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, PhDs, and I have my high school education. And I remember just being on my face crying out to God. I'm like, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. You said if any man lacks wisdom, you'll let him ask of God who gives to all men freely. And I was asking God, and I made this a regular confession of my life, that I am wise. All the wisdom of God dwells inside of me by the Holy Spirit. And I confess that each and every day over my life. And you know what happened? Man, faith came. And now when I step into to the boardroom or to the locker room, I don't care where, I believe I have the wisdom of God dwelling inside of me by the Holy Spirit. Why? I have faith because I've aligned my will, my thinking with the Word of God, and it's powerful. And so listen, Every Nation New Jersey, you and I, we are going to speak with exousia, with authority. We're going to align our lives with the Word of God, and we're going to pray, and we're going to speak boldly with the authority of Almighty God. So if I'm sick, I don't want you praying some wimpy prayer. Like, I don't want your prayers. I want your faith. Like, I want you to believe with me. If I have cancer, I don't want someone to go, oh, well, Lord, kind of, if it's your will, then maybe I would. I don't want that. I need you to lift the weight of this sickness and disease off by your faith. I need you to speak boldly to it. I remember just a couple Sundays ago, a young man came up for prayer, and I just was so grateful. I had a couple of faith heroes in our church, Raj and Anamika. They came in, and I remember just watching Anamika, the spirit of faith, come up on her life as she was praying for this young man, and she began to speak to the sickness in the name of Jesus, and you could just begin to see things lift off this guy. And so we're going to pray bold prayers and speak with exousia, authority. I was thinking about it this week, and I said, you know who I want our people to be? Like, I want the people of Every Nation New Jersey to be divine disturbers. Divine disturbers. Like, I was looking up in the dictionary. Webster's dictionary defines a miracle like this. Webster says, a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. An extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Listen, God wants to create an army of divine disturbers. Like, God wants to intervene into human affairs through your life. Like, God wants to work miracles through you, kingdom power. And if you don't think miracles still happen today, I got bad news for you. Actually, a researcher, Dr. Craig Keener, he said this. He estimates in his research that there's some 200 million people on the planet today, that believe they've experienced or seen a miracle in their life. That's one in every 35 people on the planet. One in 35. And so, listen, we are going to be people, divine disturbers, that we're going to pray bold prayers. We're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to do all these things because we're going to be people under authority, and we believe God's going to give us authority. We go on. So A is authority. B is believe, that you and I are called to believe God. Matthew 9, verse 20 to 22, Matthew 9, 20 to 22, it says this, "And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him," him being Jesus, "and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only touch his garment, I will be made well.' And Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, 'Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And instantly the woman was made well." B, you and I are called to be believers. So some of my older crew, you'll follow me on this. I'm going to now evoke memories of your seventh grade dance. Okay. And so back in 1981, the rock band Journey, they put out a smash hit called "Don't Stop Believing," right? And so once again, many of you are thinking about the seventh grade dance right now. Okay. But do you know the story behind the song, "Don't Stop Believing"? It actually goes like this. Like they got the head lyric by this. There was a keyboardist by the name of Jonathan Cain, and he was a struggling artist, just struggling to make ends meet. He felt like he was going to never make it big. Like his dream was always been of being on the big stage, and his dad, he would always call his dad when for encouragement from the despair he felt. And he recalls one time his dad lifted his spirits by saying this. He says, "Son," he says, "don't stop believing or you're done, dude." How about that? Don't stop believing or you're done, dude. And that's my word for us this morning. Don't stop believing or you're done, dude. Like how did this woman do it? Like 12 years. Don't just read past that. Think about what you were doing. I believe it's 2009. Like I can't even remember what I was doing. It was so long ago. And so 12 years, this woman was struggling. She was suffering physically. Do you know that she was isolated and alone because she had the discharge of blood? She would have had to remain ostracized from her community. And so, but she never stopped believing that somehow, some way, she was going to be healed. And she determined this: if I can just get a hold of the hem of Jesus's garment. And so, it's literally almost 1 year ago today that our church, we took a moment of prayer and fasting. We shut down everything and we said we are going to pray and fast for our brother Ariel Araza, who is suffering with cancer. And so as an entire church, we fast, we prayed, we believed, we anointed Ariel with oil. And listen, I was convinced God's going to heal this man. He's going to be a trophy of God's grace and goodness in the earth. And then a few months later, I performed Ariel's funeral service. And I got to shoot you straight. It rocked me. It rocked my faith. I was so convinced, God, you're going to do it. You're going to do it again. And listen, although I can't explain why God did that, or just he allowed him to go on to glory, here's what I can't do. I can't stop believing God because God didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted to. I can't stop believing God. So the Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with his resume, like the Lord appeared to him and discipled him, that he had been to the third heaven. I don't even know what that is, okay? That Paul had raised people from the dead, healed blind eyes, and casted out demons. Can we agree? Paul is a man of faith. But I'm going to read to you some verses that might surprise you. Despite Paul being a tremendous man of faith, there's some things you might not be aware of. Let me read to you Galatians 4, verses 13 to 14. Do you know this? Do you know that Paul, the great man of faith, do you know that he was sick and had bodily illnesses? Galatians 4, 13 to 14. Paul says this: "You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn me or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Let me read you another verse in 2 Timothy. You know that Paul didn't heal everybody he came into contact with. So let me read to you 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Paul says this, Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Did you catch that? Like Paul didn't go, I healed Trophimus and he came with me. He said, no, Trophimus was very ill. And so I had to leave him at Miletus. And so here's another one. Can we agree that Paul's spiritual son, Timothy, who is pastoring the church, was Paul's right-hand man? Can we agree that he was a man of faith? Can I read to you about Timothy? He struggled with sickness despite the fact that he saw miracles work through his own life. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, it says this. Paul says to Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. All right? And so Timothy struggled with some ailments, some sickness, despite the fact he was a man of faith and displayed power in his life. And then lastly, I'll read to you Philippians 2, 25 to 27. Get this one. Epaphroditus. This dude was so sick, Paul said he ain't going to make it. Let me read it to you, starting in verse 25 of Philippians 2. He says, I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. Did you get that? Paul's like, I don't know that he's going to make it, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have had sorrow upon sorrow. And so can we just, like, sometimes in life, isn't there some head scratchers? We're like, Paul had all this power and authority, yet it looks like there were certain times that even Paul was confused. And but aren't you happy that Paul, he kept on believing God, despite the fact that Timothy was sick, that Trophimus was sick, that he was struggling with some sickness, that he continued to believe God? Because get this, like in Galatians, when Paul references the fact that he was sick, aren't you glad he didn't quit believing God? Because guess what? Galatians was the third epistle written by Paul. If he just quits after that, he's like, well, I'm sick, I got no faith, God's not real, whatever. We wouldn't have the book of Corinthians, Colossians, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Timothy. We would have no church plants from Paul. We would have no raising of the dead from Paul. All these different things. Why? Because despite the fact Paul didn't understand everything that was going on, he kept believing God. And you and I, we are going to continue to believe God. See, sometimes the life of faith, it's not as neat and as clean as we would like it to be. So I had a great story. My youngest, Lizzie, if you're watching this, you know this is true. Like when she was little, I was working a lot, and she didn't like that I always had to go away on road trips and things like this. And so I remember as a little girl, she says, Daddy, she says, when I grow up, my husband's not going to have a job. He's just going to stay home with me. And I was still teaching Mo. I was like, well, baby, if your husband doesn't work, he doesn't have a job, then how are you going to have money? And she just said, well, I'll just go to the bank and get some money. And I'm like, well, baby, you have to have a job to put money in the bank in order to get money. She says, oh, well, I'll just use my credit card then. Her mommy taught her that one. But that's neither here nor there. See, she didn't quite understand the nuances of how money and life works. And in the same way, do you know that Paul is going to say this in 1 Corinthians 13? He says, you know, here on earth, this side of heaven, sometimes we see things like a child. We don't totally get it. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes this. It's the famous love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 through 12, Paul says this. For now, this side of heaven, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, now in this life, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. In other words, one day he's going to understand it all. He's going to be mature. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. when the new heaven and the new earth come. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So we see from Paul, though we don't quite understand everything all the time, we still continue to believe. I've heard one author said this, faith is like dating. It's an exercise in strategic uncertainty. Faith is like dating, an exercise in strategic uncertainty. But here we go, it's God's job to heal and to move mightily through our life. And it's our job to believe, because we're believers. Don't stop believing. In fact, get this. You know, the author of Hebrews says this, that faith, as we believe, guess what it does? It pleases God. It stirs the heart of Almighty God when His people are believers. Don't stop believing. Let me reference an Old Testament character I think you'll be familiar with. In the book of Daniel, it references three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Actually, they weren't men. They were actually young boys, and yet they had this faith on their life. Get this, they were exiles. They were citizens of Judah, but they were in exile in Babylon. And so we're going to see, how do you live in exile? Because if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you're actually a citizen of heaven living here in a Genesis 3 fallen, broken world. How do we live? We live by faith. If you remember in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're standing before this giant monument of King Nebuchadnezzar, and they're to bow down and worship, and they refuse to worship, and Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad, he says, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace. And do you remember their response? Like they believed God, and they said, listen, we are not going to worship your God. God, he's going to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down and worship you. Did you get that? Like, this is how we're to live our lives by faith. God can, God will, and even if he doesn't, I'm still going to believe or die trying. You get that? We're going to be believers or die trying. So here's number three. Remember, authority. We're believers. And now see, community. We are a community of faith. Matthew 9, verses 1 and 2. Starting in verse 1, it says, and getting into a boat, he crossed over, he being Jesus, and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And if you know the rest of the story, Jesus heals that young paralytic. But here's what I want us to dial down on. Jesus says, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. If we read this account in some of the other gospels, and we realize this, that there's four friends that carry this paralytic man on a mat. They rip the roof off the house and lower him at the feet of Jesus. See, these four friends, they did for this man what he couldn't do for himself. And I don't know if you've ever been in an area where you're just your faith is paralyzed. You just can't move. You can't muster up the faith, the courage. How amazing is it to be surrounded by a community of believers that their faith can kick in when your faith is paralyzed or can't work? And so I'm not a gambling man, but here's what I know, that four of a kind beats a full house every time. Four of a kind is going to beat a full house. And so my question to you this morning is, who's your four? Like these four men filled with faith. Do you know in the Bible, like, numbers are significant, and the number of four, it's actually the number of completion, of totality. And so there's the four corners of the earth. There's four seasons. There's the four signs of the cross, right? There's four gospels. And so we see that this man had four friends that were able to carry him and get him to Jesus. Who's your four? Who's your four? Listen, if you're not in a connect group, you need to be in a connect group to surround yourself with a supernatural community of faith. So way back, I can't recall which century it is, but the apostles were beginning to die out And now the early church, they needed a way to lay foundations in disciples' life. And so they came up with a catechism. And it's a book called the Didache. The Didache, so it's an early book that Christians use to help catechize or train up disciples. It's a purple book. It's a foundation book, all right, if you're familiar with that. And let me read for you a quote from the Didache. It says this: seek the fellowship of other believers as often as you can. And so it's saying, seek a community of faith so you can be encouraged in your journey and built up in your faith. As the scriptures teach, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. One-on-one time with a mentor, Christian friend, or a church leader is necessary for growth and accountability. Small fellowship gatherings or connect groups are also encouraged so that spiritual gifts can be practiced and expressed to edify the body. Is that amazing? Like the Didache, this early century book, this training manual is saying, oh, we got to gather together. We are the supernatural community of faith designed to encourage and speak life into one another, that we're to get into small groups and exercise our faith, our spiritual gifts on one another. And so we live in an incredibly cynical time. And it's our day today is so unbelievably negative. And so what are you going to do to combat that cynicism and negativity? You need the supernatural community of faith. And so our church just finished a week of prayer and fasting. And it was through that week of fasting, I felt the Lord spoke to me fairly clearly. And here's what the Lord said. He said this, he kept this word, life-giving relationships. Life-giving relationships. Not just relationships, but life-giving relationships are critical for you and I in this season of our life. Matthew chapter 9, it tells the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter. And so Jairus is going to get Jesus to heal his daughter who's dying, and Jesus gets there too late, or so they thought. And so all the mourners were in, and they were lamenting the fact of the death of Jairus' daughter. And Jesus, he shut down the mourning, and he says, don't mourn. He says, don't cry. She's only sleeping. And then their mourning turned to laughter because they began to mock Jesus. He's only sleeping. And so Jesus, the man of faith, he had to get the crowd out of there. I want to get all this doubt, get all this unbelief, this negativity, this cynicism. You get out. And then he left with them Peter, James, and John, his big three. When you're the Son of Man and the Son of God, you only need three people in your life, all right, not the four. And so Jesus, they're in there. And then by faith, Jesus raises this little girl from the dead in that atmosphere of faith. And so we at Every Nation New Jersey, we are going to be a community, of spiritual community, a faith of believers. I remember my first introduction into Every Nation as a ministry and as a movement. I can recall I went to one of their meetings, and it was funny. It was very odd to me. I grew up in a very kind of liturgical denomination, and as I go in here, man, I see these people. They're boldly speaking in tongues, and it kind of wigged me out a little bit. But there's a little bit of me that liked it, and then there's guys that they're prophesying and doing stuff, and I thought, wow, this is ooky pooky. But again, something inside of me like loved. It was like, this is real. This is how it's supposed to be. And I remember these men would pray these bold prayers, and I just thought, well, that's kind of over the top. And yet again, I kind of liked it. I was like, there was something attractive about their bold faith. And so I want you to, we're going to do this, Every Nation. We're going to do this as my watch just goes off. We're going to do this. I'm calling us forward. Listen, do you know what we did this early on in our Every Nation family? That we would call men these ridiculous things. We'd say, hey, Faith, you're Faith, all right? You're super Faith. I'm going to call you Champ because you're a champion for Christ. And it's funny, we gave guys nicknames and stuff, and I thought it was so corny, yet so amazing to walk with people that were going to believe deeply, pray boldly, and believe God, walk by faith, And that's who we're going to be, the supernatural community of faith. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time this morning, God. And Lord, I just pray, I want to pray right now for those listening within the earshot of my voice this morning. We talked about living a life of faith and three things in particular. And Lord, I want to pray for those. I want to pray the authority of God into people's life. Oh Lord, I pray that you give people grace and the humility and the strength and the courage to be under your authority. That I pray this morning, God, for the first time ever, that men and women would bow their knee to you and say, Jesus, your Lord, your Lord. And Lord, as they sit under your authority, may you give them authority in the earth, in Jesus' name. God, I want to pray for this believing community. B is for believing. Lord, I pray for the gift of faith to rise up. Lord, I pray, God, that we would become a people that we're going to believe God or we're going to die trying. But one thing is sure, we are going to believe. And then lastly is community. And Lord, I want to pray specifically for our online audience. Lord, I pray, God, that those that are walking in isolation, they don't have their four. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give them a supernatural community of faith. Lord, that you would help them to find a connect group, to find a church, or maybe what you need to do is get on a virtual connect group that we have here at Every Nation. But whatever, you need to find your four people that you can believe with. Father, I believe you're doing that. You're going to set the solitary into family in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you. And listen, if you need further prayer, I just want to remind us that 11 a.m. each and every Sunday, we have a virtual ministry Zoom call that you can join in on. The number should be coming up on your screen as we speak. And so at 11 a.m., you can get on with a pastor, a staff member, and they're going to pray a prayer of faith over your life. Or maybe you have some questions about the church or the message this morning. They'll be available to answer that for you. And then lastly, I want to remind us of the tithe and the offering, that you can remain faithful to give virtually. And we reference the fact that, you know, that in the Bible that numbers have significance. And I want to remind us that, you know, the number 10 is the number of testing. And a tithe, it simply means a tenth of all that we receive in from God. We give a tenth back as a way of offering it up back to God as a form of worship. But here's what happens. As you pass that test, it comes with a promise that God says promise. He promises that as we do that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. And so that's a really good deal. And so you can remain faithful and give. Here's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. Just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or you can mail in your tithe or offering here at our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you give. Every Nation, God loves you. I think you're pretty amazing, and we're going to live bold lives of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.